SBS Radio.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics has started sending out the 1.6 million postal survey forms for participants to indicate if they are for or against a marriage of people of the same gender. Boris Dietrich is Human Rights Watch Advocacy Director for the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual and Transgender Rights Program. Before coming to Human Rights Watch in 2007, Boris was a member of the Dutch Parliament for more than 12 years. He initiated the same-sex marriage and adoption bills, making the Netherlands the first country in the world to open its civil marriage for gays and lesbians. We hear a lot in Australia about the worries people have concerning same-sex marriage. Was it the same in the Netherlands in those days?
Yes. In the Netherlands, we started in 1994 with a debate about marriage equality. And exactly what you said, there were lots of parliamentarians, because it was a parliamentary debate, who said, well, God will punish the Netherlands, or life will change completely, or marriage will not be as it used to be, and this will create new problems in society. So there were all kind of doom scenarios that people were talking about. But after it was decided, and in 2001, marriage equality was introduced in Dutch legislation, the country moved on. And now it's for about 91% of the Dutch population is in favor of marriage equality. God didn't punish the Netherlands, and actually people understood that you don't take away rights from an existing group, heterosexual people who can get married, but actually there's something added. Gay and lesbian couples can get the same rights as everybody else. So it's actually only adding to an existing institution and not taking away anything. So no problems in society anymore about marriage equality. And there is a whole generation, because we are now 16 years after the first same-sex marriages took place, so there's a whole generation that grew up, is now adults, and they don't even understand there was a time that same-sex couples could not get married.
Has it changed the way sexuality is taught in the schools? That's one of the major fears here.
No, not at all. We have this system of public and private schools, and of course you are not allowed to discriminate in a school, so you are not allowed to have hateful speech against homosexuals or against people with a different skin color or whatever. That is forbidden, but it's up to a private school to teach whatever they want, because there is freedom of religion, of course. So there are no problems in that respect.
Now we're 2017. The start of this was made early 2000. Can you see there is more tolerance? Is there less of a problem being different now? We talk about it easier, but does that mean there's more acceptance too?
Well, there's definitely more acceptance because, of course, a marriage is a very symbolic thing. And if people see that two men or two women can get their relationship recognized by the law and are being treated equally in terms of marriage rights, people understand, hey, they are the same as we are in terms of rights. It doesn't mean that this sexual minority will not be discriminated against. There's still violence against two men or two women who walk hand in hand in the streets of the Dutch city. And there are also new immigrants who don't understand that marriage equality has been achieved. So emancipation is not something that you can achieve and then you can forget about it. No. You have to work on non-discrimination on a daily basis.
Are you disappointed that we are having a postal vote?
Well, of course, I work at the United Nations for Human Rights Watch, talk to a lot of diplomats, and actually people laugh about Australia. They don't understand that the country is lagging behind all these other countries that have introduced marriage equality, like New Zealand, your neighbor, for instance, but also the United Kingdom or the United States, Canada, the Netherlands, all the Scandinavian countries, but also Latin American countries like Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, or even South Africa. So it's amazing that there are now about 22 countries with marriage equality, that Australia is making its life so difficult with this postal plebiscite, which is a very costly adventure. And it's also dangerous because there are lots of arguments. In you know, we live in a time of fake news, and people would say horrible things. I remember there was this Stop the Facts poster campaign in Australia, and people just say that homosexuals are like pedophiles, for instance. And if you get marriage equality, it will lead to bestiality, those kind of arguments. There's a lot of hatred and vitriol going on, and it's very dangerous for also the self-confidence of gay and lesbian people, because they now actually, because of this postal plebiscite, they need to ask their family members or their colleagues at work or their neighbors, listen, please give me the same rights as you have. So it puts you in a very awkward position. And it's completely unnecessary if politicians in Australia would do the work they are elected for, and that is making these decisions, sometimes difficult decisions, but that's why you are in politics.
The politicians now say this vote will decide it for once and for all. Is there such a thing if the answer is no, that this will be for once and for all? Is it the end of it? Can
no,
that be?
No, because this is non-binding. So even if the majority would say yes, or if the majority of the Australian population who participates in this postal plebiscite would say no, then still the debate will continue. So it would be much and much better when the parliament in Australia, like in New Zealand, will have a debate, maybe have some hearings in parliament first, and then have this debate, and then have a vote. And that's the way it should be.
Thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.